You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Henry Lake to get the latest with the Minnesota Vikings as they have released Dalvin Cook. Lake, how you doing, my guy?
I'm doing well, man. Just getting ready for work a little bit later to do my show, and I'm doing a quick meet and greet Q&A with Maya Moore, the GOAT of women's basketball.
Absolutely, man. Happy to have you on today, man. Let's start with this. What's the fan reaction today to losing one of the better running backs in the National Football League?
I think that fans here are a little bit torn on it because I feel like Minnesota fans, we knew for quite some time that they were moving on from Dalvin Cook. Like, it was – the writing was on the wall when they re-signed Alexander Mattison, and they made that decision, you know, over a month ago, a couple of months ago, actually, that they were going to roll with him into the future. Now, is Alexander Mattison a guy that you look at and you say he's an every-down back and he's going to be able to get the job done at the same level that Dalvin Cook did? Not sure. We'll see how that plays out. But I think that there are some Vikings fans – that are a little bit in the mindset of, okay, this means we're absolutely rebuilding. We're absolutely moving into a new direction of Minnesota Vikings football. And quite frankly, C-Dot, I think the Vikings have moved too soon on Dalvin Cook. I think that Dalvin Cook still has something in the tank, and I think that he, wherever he goes, is going to have a good, you know, next season or next couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think he still has something left in the tank, too. I'm going to be curious just when he got released. You and I both know those big money deals, those normally come in March and April. It's kind of hard to get that contract at this point in the season. Are you where the rest of us are? Is that he's going to probably end up playing for the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. But you never know who wants to, like, jump into the fray and acquire a guy at that position. I mean, when you look at Dalvin Cook, his versatility is his number one thing, but I think that the downside to Dalvin Cook is if you acquire Dalvin Cook, he's more than likely going to miss a game or two. That's the way it's been. Like, that shoulder, there's still question marks about the shoulder. His durability has always kind of been in question, but when he's right, man, he is one of the best backs in the league, in my opinion, still. He still has that breakaway speed. He can still get it done. He's an every-down back. But I think that more than anything, one of the biggest things about this, and it's playing a factor into the Dalvin Cook situation, aside from Alexander Mattison, is we all know this. Justin Jefferson is about to get paid. Justin Jefferson is about to be the highest paid wide receiver, arguably maybe in the history of the National Football League. So it's been really, really quiet on that front, and I think that's specifically for this reason.
It's funny we say that about Dalvin Cook. That certainly is the perception. But, I mean, for the last 4 years, he's had at least 300 touches in a season. I mean, that's a fair expectation, I think, for a guy who has been a pretty consistent number one running back. You're right. I mean, last season was the only year in his career that he's played in every game of the regular season. But outside of that, it was 13 games, 14 games, 10 games. He certainly has dealt with injury. But I think any team that gets him, he's a guy that you can count on. He's going to touch the ball about 275 times, and he's probably going to have about 1,300 yards from scrimmage. That's one of the most productive backs in the league.
Yeah, no question. Look, clearly, C-Dot, we're on the same page with Dalvin Cook. I think that Dalvin Cook is going to be very productive for whatever team acquires him for the next couple of years. I really do believe that the Minnesota Vikings have moved on from Dalvin Cook 1 year ahead. I believe he should have came back for another season, but they felt like, you know, with Justin Jefferson's contract situation and with the salary cap hell that the Minnesota Vikings are in, that they're just going to go ahead and bite the bullet right now and try to move on.
Really quick question. Last question. We'll get you out of here, Lake, and we appreciate your time. Are you guys worried about the Lions? Because I think everybody outside of the NFC North has already sort of made them the winners of that division, but Minnesota actually won the division last year and won 13 games. Are you guys worried about the Lions?
No. Me personally, I'm not worried about the Lions. Everybody's talking about the Lions, but it's the Lions. Like, until the Lions can really actually prove that they're willing to step up and be the franchise that people think that they are going to be, I'm not buying into the Lions, man. They need to worry about who's betting in the facility. How about they deal with that before we start talking about what the Lions going to do? Doesn't it seem like it's set up for the Lions to ultimately just be who they've always been, a team that when you think that they're going to get over the hump, they find a way to screw it up? That's how I feel about the Detroit Lions, and until they prove me wrong, that's just how I'm going to operate looking at them. They're talented. I know that Jameson Williams is going to miss the first six games because of the scandal, but we'll see how things shake out with them.
Actually, I lied. Like, I got one final question here. You guys have a pass rusher, Danielle Hunter. He could potentially be available. What's the latest on him? Is he going to get traded? Is he going to get outright released? What's the latest on him?
Yeah, that's an interesting situation there because, like I mentioned, the salary cap situation that the Vikings are in, they're always trying to look to curb and cut some money. I think that they might move on. He's had a little bit of an issue with the neck that kept him out for an entire season a couple of years ago. When he's healthy, he's as good as you're going to find. But I think the issue with Danielle Hunter is that he needs somebody that's extremely stout and athletic on that defensive line to really make him super effective coming off that edge and coming off the line. And I think that if a team like the Kansas City Chiefs went after Danielle Hunter with Chris Jones on that line, oh, my gosh. You can call it. Hey, man, you go ahead and just hand over the trophy because I think Danielle Hunter, he definitely sort of gets you another 12 or 13 sack season.
That is our guy, Henry Lake, joining us on the show today to get us the latest with the Minnesota Vikings as the Vikings have parted ways with Dalvin Cook, and it seems like he is going to go play for the Miami Dolphins. Lake, I appreciate you, man.
It's all good, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
Absolutely. That's Henry Lake joining us on the show today. Really good to catch up with him and get his thoughts on everything that's going on. Rob, we got to bring you in as our expert run game coordinator. This is where I think that players get a little bit of a bad rap. So, sure, Dalvin Cook does not play in 17 games. That is not has been his career. He has dealt with injuries. He has battled with injuries. But this is where I think he gets a little bit of a bad rap. So, in 2019, he only played in 14 games. Rob, he had 250 carries for almost 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns, and had 53 catches for 519 yards. He was a super productive player in those 13 games. In 2020, sure, didn't play in all 17 games. Rob, he played in 14 games, had 312 carries, 1,557 yards, and then gave you an extra 400 yards through the air. Dalvin Cook has been one of the five most productive running backs in the National Football League that I kind of feel more so with running back than really any other position on the field. We kind of look for reasons to kind of poke at him a little bit and devalue him more than just simply looking at the numbers. We wouldn't do this if this was a wide receiver. If Dalvin Cook was a wide receiver and he had had 4 years very similar to the ones that he had, we'd be talking about him being one of the best players in the National Football League. Last year, Dalvin Cook ran for 1,200 yards and gave you an extra 300 yards on the ground. He's given you 1,500 yards from scrimmage every single year. So a team like the Dolphins, who were kind of running back by committee trying to figure it out, if you get a guy like him and now you put Tua with a top five running back, a top five wide receiver, Jaylen Waddle, who's probably, what, a top 20 wide receiver, top 25 wide receiver, you give yourself some of the best skill position players in the National Football League. Now, is your quarterback going to be good enough to do something with it? That's another topic for another day, but Dalvin Cook is one of the better free agents that we've seen available during this period.
You say we wouldn't do that with wide receiver, but aren't we doing that with wide receiver? I know because the Chiefs' connection to DeAndre Hopkins, we have talked about it more. But if DeAndre Hopkins played, if the Chiefs were lock steady at wide receiver and DeAndre Hopkins got cut, we wouldn't be talking about it more than a guest here in Kansas City. Aren't we doing the same things with DeAndre Hopkins we do with Dalvin Cook? Isn't that the same comparison?
This is where I think it's different. Dalvin Cook is 27 years old, and DeAndre Hopkins is 31 years old. DeAndre Hopkins has really been off for the last 2 years. Last year, he only played in 9 games, and then the year before, he tore his ACL. Dalvin Cook is a better football player than DeAndre Hopkins is right now. I'm not saying their career. In 2023, who will have a better season? you would much rather bet on Dalvin Cook having a better season than DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying the Chiefs should go get him. I don't think the Chiefs should spend the resources that it's probably going to take to go get Dalvin Cook. I'm guessing that he ain't taking one of the Chiefs' deals. We talk about that Veach special. Oh, they got a special kind of contract, too. Hey, we're going to pay you $9.75 an hour, but it can be up to $26 an hour if you check X, Y, and Z box. I'm going to guess that ain't the contract that Dalvin Cook's about to sign. I'm assuming he's going to sign for $7, $8 million guaranteed that could be up to $11 million because that's the kind of running back that he's been so far. I would love for the Chiefs to go get Dalvin Cook, but I'm also realistic with the Chiefs. A, I don't think they need him. I think Isaiah Pacheco is more than enough, and you're getting great production at the position for little to no cost. And I also don't think that Dalvin Cook is going to sign one of those Chiefs kind of deals that they offer to just about everybody.
I mean, you're right when the business of about the business of running back. Real quick, Andrew Brandt, you know, business side of football guy. I think he was an agent, tweeted out this out a few minutes ago. Austin Eckler made a lot of noise about his contract. Has he gotten a new one? Not really. Dalvin Cook, cut. There are three franchise tag running backs right now in the NFL. Are any of them going to get a long-term deal? Not looking like it. These are some of the best players in football, and the business of being an NFL running back is brutal. NFL executives, GMs, ownership groups have all learned the following. It's what Therese used to say all the time. Running backs only have so many hits in their body. So you don't want to invest a large sum of money into that when you never know what the last hit on their body is going to be. You turn and you burn. And I feel bad for the players, but it is good roster construction to not dump money into that position because you and I both know that position ends just as fast, if not faster, than any other position on the field.
Yeah, you're probably way more on the extreme than I am at running back. Like, you and I are different, I would say, at almost every single phase of running back.
I don't think we're as different as you think.
I would draft a running back in the first round, though. You wouldn't draft a running back in the first round. I don't think you draft a running back in, like, you would have never had drafted Dalvin Cook. A second-round pick, you never – I would have drafted Dalvin Cook if I was the Minnesota Vikings. I think you and I are probably most similar on that second contract. The second contract is the one that really screws you. Drafting Dalvin Cook in the second round is not a negative. You drafted a really productive player with the 35th overall pick, and he's been one of the better running backs in the league. The problem always starts when you take a player who is making $2 million and now giving him $14 million. But that's the same at really any position in the National Football League. I can agree that running back is a little bit more volatile than a lot of those positions. And what normally happens is you're paying a guy $17 million, and by the time they're 26, 27 years old, normally at that position, they're no longer capable of giving you $17 million worth of production. Like Christian McCaffrey is doing that, but he's also battled with injuries at times. I wouldn't have a problem going to get Dalvin Cook. I think it depends on who you are. If you're a team like Dallas, where I think it's been proven, hey, Dak needs these things. It all depends on your team. Kansas City is not a roster that needs Dalvin Cook to get the most out of their quarterback position. They can get their most out of their quarterback position with Peyton Hillis at running back if they needed to. They need a team like Dallas needs a really viable running game. Minnesota needs a really viable running game. Miami, San Francisco, there's some teams that just desperately need it. Those are the teams to me that should be very, very serious about going out and getting Dalvin Cook. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the top story of the day in Kansas City. Frank Clark is no longer a free agent. He is signed with the Denver Broncos. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with noted Missouri fan Carrington Harrison.
I don't want to talk about it because it's just going to upset me and I have to put down Missouri and I don't really want to talk about it.
Brought to you by the Deep Esquali Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I really want to get you guys' take on this. 913-586-7610. So Frank Clark signed a free agent deal with the Denver Broncos. It is a one-year deal that guarantees $5.5 million and can be worth up to $7.5 million based on various incentives. We got this text, and I saved it. CDOT, the history of Neil Smith going to Denver while Derek Thomas stayed here, this is triggering and all too similar. Frank Clark goes to Denver, and Chris Jones stays here. Some of you guys are a little bit upset about Frank Clark. Another text we got, why did Frank Clark have to sign with the Broncos of all 31 teams he could have signed with? I need you guys to help me with this because this is the thing to me that is a little bit confusing. The Chiefs and Frank Clark had a contract agreed to. The Chiefs made the decision because Frank Clark was making too much money to then void said contract. Frank Clark was not originally a free agent. He and the Chiefs had had a deal. They then voided the deal. Before voiding the deal, they tried to negotiate a financial package that would work for both sides. They were unable to agree on a deal. They let Frank Clark go off in free agency. I don't believe there was any bad blood. There's no reason to think there was any bad blood between the Chiefs and Frank Clark and his management team. The Chiefs then draft a player at the same position in which they released Frank Clark. At what point is it just a simple, well, my old employer doesn't want me. Now I can go to whatever team I want to go to. It's not like Frank Clark demanded a trade and said, trade me to the Broncos. I could understand feeling a way about this. But this is where I think we're just being unfair to these guys, especially because we all know how the Chiefs operate. I think the Chiefs were interested in bringing Frank Clark back, but I think the Chiefs told Frank Clark, this is the price. And I'm assuming it was noticeably lower than what he just got from the Broncos. And Frank Clark had the ability to say, no, I don't want to take that pay cut. Either honor the contract that we both are into or release me and let me go. The Chiefs released him and let him go. That's business. I'm not upset at the Chiefs for doing that. I didn't want to continue to pay Frank Clark the amount of money. But if both sides continue to negotiate and now he has been a free agent, Rob, I just looked this up. Frank Clark got cut on March 7th. It was 90 days ago. He's been a free agent. He was just at the White House with you. I imagine there has been some communication and some contact between both sides. I'm guessing the Chiefs' price stayed pretty firm. I'm assuming that Frank Clark's price stayed pretty firm. One team was willing to meet his price. That team just happens to be in the division. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but that's the way that it goes. If 610 fires me, and I shop myself around and no other radio station wants me, but 810 is willing to give me mornings, and I take the 810 job, you fired me. You then don't get the opportunity to now dictate where I go if you guys cared that much about it. Either you would have matched the contract that was offered to me, or you wouldn't have cut me in the first place. Now, I'm not saying this because I think the Chiefs made the wrong decision. I think the Chiefs' decision's fine. I don't think it has one effect either way. They are not winning or losing a game because of they didn't make this decision. But I think it's unfair to hold Frank Clark to any level of expectation or feel any way about Frank Clark when the Chiefs have done business. They cut him. They then drafted somebody else. At some point, you got to move on with your life and you got to go play for another team. He's going to another team. That happens.
Here's where, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why the Neil Smith thing is not at all what's happening here. When Neil Smith signed the Broncos, I understand when Chiefs fans felt a certain way. That was the team that you were always battling in the AFC West, and it was playoffs battles. It was what the Bengals are to a higher degree right now. Frank Clark is signing with the team that had what? Would have had a top five pick last year if they had their pick. He's signing with one of the worst teams in the NFL on a one-year, $5.5 million contract with incentives. That's a nothing deal on a bad team. It is the same as Colin Saunders signing with the Saints. Hey, thank you for your service. Thank you for the rings. Come to the White House and party with us. We've enjoyed our time with you. You've enjoyed your time with us. But we're both moving on in our different directions, and that's life. Fans can feel a certain way about Neil Smith when Neil Smith happened. But Frank Clark to Neil Smith is just an absolute nightmarish comparison because they are not at all similar.
I would even say in that same way, that's free agency. To make a relationship analogy, if you and your girlfriend break up, and it's your decision to break up with her, I'm a big believer that you've made the decision you don't want to be with her. So you don't get the opportunity to determine who she can be with. Now, I think you get the opportunity now. Let's say that, Rob, you and your fiance split up, and now I'm dating your fiance. It's fair for you, A, I think, to hit me in the face and be like, I'm not working with this dude anymore. I can't trust him. But you don't get the opportunity to break up with the person, and then when you see him on Instagram and they're out having dinner with somebody else, well, what are you doing? It doesn't matter. I'm single. I'm doing what single people do. I'm going out, I'm eating, I'm dating, I'm having a good time. You didn't want to be with me. Now I'm available to date whoever I want to date. If you cut a player and that player enters free agency, it's not free agency with a condition. It's not free agency with an asterisk. Well, you're a free agent, but you can't sign with the Broncos. Well, don't sign with Cincinnati. Well, don't sign with Buffalo. No, sign with whomever. You can sign with the Miami Sharks or the Miami Dolphins. I don't care what team. I don't want you on the team anymore. At this contract, the Chiefs, to me, made a decision. This is not like what happened with Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is somebody you can be mad at. The Chiefs made him a pretty substantial offer, and I think the Chiefs really wanted Tyreek Hill to be on the team, and he got greedy. You ain't being greedy in the NFL if you sign a one-year, $5 million deal. That ain't greedy in the National Football League for a guy who has been a pivotal player on two Super Bowl teams. That ain't being greedy.
No, he's also, me and you know the NFL well enough. You don't sign a contract on June 8th that is so lucrative that it's unbelievable. Chiefs fans need to view this as the same as when the Chiefs signed Carlos Dunlap. That's what the Broncos just did. They signed Carlos Dunlap. They signed their version of Melvin Ingram. They're hoping it works out great. If it doesn't, it's very low risk, very high, low reward. So it goes. But I understand, to your relationship analogy, how fans feel a certain way about at least the Neil Smith one, because if you and your girlfriend break up and then she starts dating one of your boys, I can understand how your other friends would be like, yeah, that's foul. We don't want any part of that. That's how fans behave. But to your relationship analogy, the Frank Clark Chiefs relationship wasn't that serious because at 1 year, $5.5 million, you weren't invested in him long term.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, you were so close, but you changed your point because of this. You can't date Rob's ex-fiance, just like Frank shouldn't have gone to someone in the division. Rob and I are friends. Chiefs and the Broncos aren't friends. Rob's ex can go date Curtis Siebold. That's the game. Y'all ain't boys like that. Me and Rob are boys. We hang out every day. We play PlayStation together. We go to lunch. We talk about life with one another. We're friends. The Chiefs ain't got no friends in the National Football League. Frank Clark go play from whomever. I don't care he's going on the Broncos. If the Chiefs were that worried about Frank Clark joining another team, then they would have re-signed him. The Chiefs have told you they're not worried about it. The Chiefs didn't want him. If you're not willing to sign a proven postseason player at $5 million, you just didn't want him. That's okay. I'm not mad at you for not wanting him. That's life. That's perfectly fine. Business happened on both sides. It can't be business for the Chiefs and not business for Frank Clark too. The Chiefs made a business decision. The contract that we are paying you, you are not living up to it. Either you need to renegotiate or we're cutting you. All right, we cut you. We now drafted somebody to take and hire your old position. The Chiefs have operated off pure business this entire time. That's what I saw Frank Clark do today. I saw Frank Clark operate off business. I signed with another team. It's obviously still a lot of love. He just was in the White House with the Chiefs on, Monday, Tuesday? They was making TikToks and laughing and joking, and they were having a good time. It's business.
What do you think irritated fans more, when Frank Clark signed with the Broncos or when Jamal Charles signed with the Broncos?
I think it's the same. I mean, honestly, I mean, I get it. You got more of an emotional connection. My take is the same. My take's the same.
You're telling me if I went through that day, that whatever May day it's that he signed the Broncos, me. I could just cut that audio and just hit play?
Yeah, it's the same for me. You just don't get to decide once you let me go. Once you let me hit the market, that's it. I can do whatever I want to do. That's the definition of free. It's not, he wasn't a restricted free agent. They let him sign with any team. You don't get blackout dates. This isn't the airplane. You get any team you want to sign for. The game is the game. Someone said Rudder Rob's ex-fiance was Beyonce. I'd be willing to chance my friendship with Rob for that. I'd be willing to chance it. If you're telling me that Rob was dating Beyonce, now Beyonce's available, and she was like, hey, I really like your show. I should have been dating you the whole time. Rob would have to leave, and I would choose Beyonce. I'd be crazy in love, some would say. Maybe even drunk.
There you go. I mean, I also feel like in that scenario, I don't think I'd be working here if I was dating Beyonce.
If that was the case, you know what? I'd be willing. You know what? Burning that bridge is a bridge I'd be willing to burn. That's a bridge I'd be willing to burn. I love Rob. That's a bridge I'd be willing. I don't love Rob that much. I don't have that much love in my heart. All right, we'll keep talking about this. 913-586-7610. I also saw something about millennials and the way that we attend concerts. I want to get your opinion on, Rob. That's coming up. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Don't miss Royals manager Matt Quatrero every Wednesday at 9 o'clock on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I do want to read this thing to you. This is just maybe the thing. So me and this guy have been going back and forth. I don't mean going back and forth like it's been hostile. Just we just disagree. He said, C-Dot, I get what you're trying to say, and Frank has the right to do it. But a good dude just wouldn't. This is basically the equivalent of what you guys were talking about the alcohol at the cookout. A good dude just leaves it. I guess what I'm confused about when you hit free agency is we can agree with this. The Chiefs made the decision that they didn't want Frank Clark on their team anymore. Like, to me, that is not even an opinion. That is a fact. He was on the team. They then cut him. They have had 90 days to reach an agreement with Frank Clark. The funny thing about this, Rob, is it's not like we're arguing the money. It's not like Frank Clark signed a contract that you guys think is outside of the Chiefs' ability to sign. If Frank Clark today had signed for 2 years, $20 million, then they'd be like, wow, they really overpaid. The Chiefs weren't willing to pay what the market says that he's worth. So you just didn't want him. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I want to be clear that I'm not mad at the Chiefs in any way or feel any way about them not keeping Frank Clark. I think they're fine on the defensive line. They'll probably make another move, and you guys will like that move more than Frank Clark. Between now and the start of training camp, they'll find another Carlos Dunlap. They'll find one of those deals. They'll sign him for a one-year, $2 million deal, and you guys will talk about how smart Brett Veach is. Like, we know how this is going to go. I'm just a big believer that once you hit free agency, you're a free agent. You can do what you want. They fired you. They fired you. So you can go do whatever. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, what the heck? The Chiefs should have given them that money. That's cheap. I don't have any problem with the Chiefs not doing this deal. You guys just believe maybe in the allure of postseason Frank Clark a little bit more than I do. He has been great in the postseason. But I think the Chiefs for far too long have overpaid for Frank Clark to be a pretty mediocre player. Like, they have played 170 cents on the dollar for him to be just okay. Like, he has made a lot of money with the Kansas City Chiefs. So I understand from their perspective how that time is over. We want to get younger and cheaper. Rob, in 2019, Frank Clark made $17.8 million. In 2020, he made $28.4 million. In 2021, he made $19 million. Last season, he made $12.3 million. $12.3 million. They have given Frank Clark a substantial amount of money for him to be incredibly average. I can see how they're thinking that's over for us. We want to get younger. We want to get cheaper. We want to develop. We're tired of blocking snaps for Mike Dana. We're tired of blocking snaps for these other guys. We're ready to put Karlaftis on the field more. We just got through rookie OTAs. We think that Felix is a little bit further ahead than we think. I don't have any problem with this. This is the need to me they've already addressed. We're talking about a backup rotational defensive lineman. I'm cool with them not signing that guy to a $5.5 million deal. I think at some point they're gonna answer that position. The same way they picked up Brandon Williams, the same way they picked up Mike Pinnell, the same way they picked up Carlos Dunlap. The Chiefs are not done making signings. They're going to add another player between now and the end of the season. They'll probably add another veteran pass rusher that you hope is equivalent to what you got with Frank Clark.
I know this wasn't your point, but you said that you think the Chiefs are still going to add in their pass rusher before camp. Like, you said, oh, Chiefs fans will love that new guy. Are we sure? Because if there was a veteran pass rusher option that the Chiefs, we know the Chiefs loved and the Chiefs know well, and would we the inverse exists too, and that loves the Chiefs, wouldn't that have been Frank Clark? I mean, if there's one thing this signing has shown me, it's one, Chiefs fans care about the division way more than I thought so. And two, I don't think the Chiefs are making a veteran move at D end anymore. I think they feel like they're good. They have Mike Dana. They have Charles Aminihu. They have Felix. They have George Karlaftis. They have the fifth round pick. I know it's a shot in the dark guy, but you don't draft a second edge rusher to block him one day. They can maybe sign Dunlap, but I think this move, the fact that they wouldn't bring back their guy, and I can pull the audio of him speaking that highly of Andy Reid, that's their dude. And they didn't bring him back on a nothing deal. I think this more than anything shows, I think they're done at edge rusher. I think they're content.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if I had to guess, I think they'll make one more signing. I think it'll be probably in this range, maybe a little bit cheaper. Maybe a little bit cheaper. Maybe they ended up signing somebody to a 1 year three or a 1 year four, and they wanted to save that little bit of money. But the one thing I want to be very clear on, this is the Chiefs saying no. $5 million is not, stop it. We can talk about the salary cap. The Chiefs had $3 worth of salary cap space, and they signed Patrick Mahomes to the largest contract in league history. $5.5 million don't take a whole lot of flexibility to figure that contract out. You're also not moving around a lot of money. Like, you're always big on the bill comes due. The bill don't really come due on $5.5 million guaranteed. It never comes due. You made a decision for no. That's what you made a decision for. You made a decision for no. So I saw this. This actually was from 96.5. So from 96.5, they said that Gen Z, they are buying less and less alcohol at concerts, and they're trying to figure out a way to kind of boost those sales. That's obviously revenue that they have been counting this entire time, that now they ain't getting that revenue. And now they're trying to figure out new ways to make up for it. So they're talking about having more non-alcoholic drink options, Rob. maybe more venue-centric merch. So the T-Mobile Center would have their own merchandise that you couldn't get anywhere else, so you have to go to the concert to go get it. And maybe having some more CBD-infused drinks. Rob, isn't this just very simple to me about what's happening? The cost for concerts and these events are going up, so you have less and less disposable income. Where before, if you were spending $30, $40 to get in, and let's say your budget for this concert was $100, sure, you could go get you a couple of drinks. You maybe go get yourself a T-shirt because you only have $100 total to spend. But if Ticketmaster is going to take 90 of your $100 that you have, you only got room to go get one drink. Concert tickets are through the roof right now. It's super expensive. I was trying to get my friend tickets to go. You know who this Matt Rife guy is, this comedian?
Yeah. Did you not know Matt
Rife? I mean, I've seen a couple of his TikToks. I had no clue that he was Dave Chappelle. It was easier for me to get tickets to go see Dave Chappelle than it's been to try to get these Matt Rife tickets. I don't know why he's so popular. I don't know anything about it. Rob, it's $200 to go see Matt Rife. Well, if it's $200 to go to the show, how many beers do you think we're drinking at this point? Like, I don't care who you are. For the most part, most people have a budget of what they can spend. And if the ticket is going to gobble up a majority of your budget, then it's going to be fewer money or less money to flow around it. This just seems very easy to me of what's happened.
Yeah, but if that's the case, then none of those solutions will work. Like, if the budget is the problem, then specific merch or a CBD infused drink or a non-alcoholic drink is going to be, they're going into the same problems. It seems like in your scenario, the thing you think is the issue, until we address the issue, Ticketmaster dropping a $90 ticket to an $80 ticket, people aren't going to have that expendable income. And so despite the fact these concert venues are trying new stuff, it doesn't sound like any of them are going to work if it's just about pricing, right?
Yeah. I'm sitting here reading it. Like, Gen Z, they're purportedly drinking less at concerts. Venues are exploring ways to make up for lost revenue. How about charging less? That's a way to do it. You would get the money to flow to these other things than if that's the case. You would get the money to flow. But you're hitting me for $60 to park. You're hitting me for, hell, I already bought four beers. You call it a convenience fee. You hit me for a building fee. You hit me for buying the tickets. Like, Ticketmaster will charge. Like, I just bought tickets to an event today. Rob, they charge you $3 for a facility charge. What in the hell is the facility charge? Why am I paying extra for this? Then you hit me with the service fee. Then you hit me with the order processing fee. Like, you have nickel and dimed me everywhere else. Now you're running away. Hey, where all the money go? You've already taken all the money. I don't got no more to give you. I don't have any more. No. Leave me alone. I'm done. I don't want anything to drink. I'm going to pregame at home now. I'm pregaming at home, and I'm going to get those drinks because I refuse to now go to the stadium and now give you another $18 for a beer. No thanks.
It's the same as what happens at Arrowhead, though. Like, let's be honest. Arrowhead's tailgating is awesome because of the barbecue and the food, and I get that. But one of the reasons Arrowhead's tailgating is elite is people don't want to spend the $24 for a Michelob Ultra inside. They just don't. They're going to drink their $1 or $2 Michelob Ultra out in the parking lot. I think now concerts and things that sports have been experiencing for a long time, and we've just called it tailgating, they're starting to experience that now. Where'd you say Matt Rife was playing? I don't even remember what you said.
He's at the music hall.
Okay, so let's say before the music hall, you go downtown, you get yourself a nice dinner and drink, and you have yourself a nice little evening. You can do that cheaper than you can to get, you know, nachos and a Bud Light inside music hall. So I think they have to adjust their prices. Remember a few years ago when Arthur Blank was like, yeah, we're getting killed at the concessions, so we're going to make our pricing better? I think venues are going to have to start following Arthur Blank's policy because Ticketmaster ain't removing that clean the facility or hand the tickets to other people charges. They're going to keep those in there. You got to find a way to get people to buy concessions other than CBD-infused drinks. That's not going to get people doing it.
I'm asking this seriously, and I'm not trying to be funny. Is Matt Rife the biggest comedian in the country right now? I asked that because I went back on StubHub. I was curious. I went back on StubHub. So he is going to be here October 21st. He's going to be at the music hall. I'm sure it will be a great show. Rob, it's $200 to get in. That's sitting up in the back. This is the balcony row G. You in the back. $200 a seat for a guy who had two shows? Is he the biggest comedian in the... This is Dave Chappelle. This is Seinfeld. This is Kevin Hart prices. This is Bill. You could get Bill Burr coming to Kansas City. He wouldn't do this. And I love Bill Burr. Hilarious. Bill Burr would not come to Kansas City, sell out two shows, and it's $200 a person to get in there. It would not be that price. How did this happen? Is this just all TikTok? What is this?
I mean, you're talking just purely comedy. Doesn't like have a podcast or something else outside of this. I think Matt Rife might be 1-1. I think he's very popular among the youths. He's very big on TikTok. He's very popular among women because he's a good-looking dude who makes fun of himself. I've seen one of the specials on Netflix. He is funny.
Hold on.
I think purely comedy, he's 1-1.
The way the comedian looks factors into whether you want to hear him tell the jokes or not. I don't care what you look like. Are you funny?
If you're a 23-year-old girl, if you're going to a show, I think you care how the guy looks.
Okay.
Why do you think Justin Bieber was popular? His music was solid. It was good.
Super catchy. I didn't know.
But do you think every teen girl likes catchy songs or like the way he looked for a while?
Both.
Exactly. It's the same.
Both.
It's the Justin Bieber
Does
effect.
Does Matt Rife have like a really big, like what's his big bit, you know? Like, I can give you, like, 5 or 10, like, really famous, like, Bill Burr bits. What's Matt Rife's, like, thing? Like, what is his, oh, this is really funny. Someone said he's the new Dane Cook.
That's probably a good comparison. That's probably fair. He might be hot right now, but let's see how long it lasts. Because he's, like, 25. I don't know he has that one bit yet.
Okay, I don't know. I literally have only seen this guy on TikTok.
I mean, he announced his tour announcement had a video of Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, and him. So he's real. He's got some star.
Yeah, I mean, y'all paying for it. $200 to go in there. You're paying for it.
I mean, it's him or Burt Kreischer.
Because at first, my friend wanted to go see him, and he's at the Improv. But they sold out so quick. You know, the Improv's really small.
Yeah.
Sold out the Improv, and then he's doing another tour, and he's coming back, and he's doing two nights. And it's just been, well, it's number one, Ticketmaster's in control of the tickets. Like, I didn't think this was – once he said he was coming back and he was doing the music hall for two shows, I didn't think that was going to be I got to call in a favor move. It was like, oh, this is going to be kind of easy. No, it ain't been that easy. It ain't been easy.
Textline also points out he was on Wild and Out, another very popular show among young people. He has cornered the Gen Z demo.
Okay, my bad. I mean, I've seen him before. I just didn't know he was Dave Chappelle all of a sudden. I didn't know.
I would say he's more popular right now than Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle dipped his toe into a water that got him some heat and some trouble.
I don't know if he's at that level. Because to me, like,
I think Dave Chappelle's not the level you think he is anymore because there's a sect of society that has turned off of him because of what he said.
I don't disagree, though. I don't think that Matt Rife has the ability to make news the way that Chappelle does.
That's
like, to
fair.
Me, Chappelle has an ability where when something happens and you see that Chappelle is going to talk, you run because you want to know what Dave Chappelle thinks about it. Like, he might be one of the few comedians that really moves the needle where, oh, this thing happened. I want to know what he thinks. I don't think people really want to know what Matt Rife thinks yet. I think they think he's funny. Yeah, sure. But I don't think he's at that level. That's where I don't think he's on Chappelle's level.
Let me ask you this, though. How much of that with Chappelle is based on tenure? I mean, Matt Rife has been doing comedy for maybe 5 years. Dave Chappelle's been doing comedy for 25 years.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely a new group of, you know, like, the closest that you and I have to Chappelle, like, I loved Chappelle's show. I was in college when Chappelle's show came out, and it just kind of grew over time. Like, there's going to be new comedians, the same way that Chappelle popped up, and now Matt Rife. He's that new guy. He's the new TikTok guy. I've got no issues with that. I just couldn't believe that I was looking at his ticket prices, and I was thinking, hold on, this is how much it costs to go to the AFC Championship game. What's going on here? That's what took me by surprise. It's actually more expensive to go see Matt Rife than to go see Beyonce here in a couple of months. That's what took me by surprise. That's what I was surprised about.
That's probably fair. I also think part of the ticket thing is supply-demand. Music Hall is bigger than the Improv, but it's not like he's playing T-Mobile for multiple nights.
Both nights, though, man. Both nights, it's sold out. Boom, boom. That's what got me, man. You want to talk about this now or you want to wait? About Nikola Jokic and your ridiculous stance on Nikola Jokic.
I mean, we're going to have a Denver person on in 8 minutes. Let's get it out of the way.
All right, let's do this.
I assume the person will agree with me.
All right, so we can talk about it more, too. So you think that Nikola Jokic would be a bigger star if he was born in America, and I strongly disagree. This is why. Jokic doesn't have a game that people gravitate towards. His game isn't exciting. Jokic is really good if you love basketball. Like, you have to have a pure love of basketball, I think, to really appreciate his game and to see it and enjoy it and watch it. You and I have it. He puts his shoulder into you. He takes that little awkward step back. But, like, part of, I think, what attracts us to basketball players is, like, a coolness factor, and you want to be them. You got the Nike Shox because you wanted to jump like Vince Carter, or you went out to go get the Jordans because, look at this, like, there was a part that you wanted to tap into. That's basically the entire movie of Airs. Like, you wanted to tap into it. I don't think you would. I don't think it matters where Nikola Jokic is from. I don't think you'll ever want to tap into that place. He is an incredible basketball player, one of the greatest players we've ever seen. His game just don't wow you. It doesn't excite you. It doesn't make you stand up on your feet. It just, he's just good. It's just no other way to put it. He's just good.
If Nikola Jokic played college basketball in America and was American born, and you changed nothing about his game except for he played a year in college and his name was Nick Johnson, if you just changed those things and he was born in insert City X, he would be the most popular player in the NBA. You want to know why? Because most NBA fans are college basketball fans, and they love discovering talent. They love finding out, like, oh, I remember watching this guy, da-da-da. That's one of the reasons why college athletics is the popular sport it is in America to this day. It's the discovery. We weren't talking about Trevor. We were talking about Trevor Lawrence as a recruit, then as a college athlete, and then as now as a pro. There's an element of connectivity to Trevor Lawrence because we've known about him for a long time. If Nikola Jokic played 1 year in college at insert whatever prominent college you want. I don't think he should play at Oregon State, but let's have him at Michigan State. Let's have him at Ohio State. Let's have him at Florida, whatever college. And fans saw him in the NCAA tournament and saw him hoop in the NCAA tournament, and then he became the same level of star in the NBA. He would be Larry Bird for modern basketball fans. Hey, can you believe no one's talking about this guy? He's a, what a star. He does this well. He does that well. He does everything. He passes. He shoots. He scores. He can rebound. He also does it while not looking like a specimen. He looks like the kind of guy who just got out of playing a couple games at the Y. He would be incredibly popular if we changed one thing. No longer from Serbia. He's from South Bend. Now he'd be unbelievably popular.
But there was a certain level of swagger that Larry Bird played with that Nikola Jokic just doesn't have. Like, you and I both could pull up hours of Larry Bird stories where he goes up to a guy and says, I'm going to beat you with my left hand today, and scores 55 points doing that. Or I'm not going to take my warm-up off, and I'm still going to go win this three-point contest. Like, there was just a cool factor to Larry Bird that Nikola Jokic just doesn't have. I'm not saying every basketball player needs to have that. Like, Jokic is certainly fine with who he is, and he is the best basketball player in the world. But I think we're underselling this of why we like certain basketball players. You want to know why Ja Morant matters to so much people? Because look at him. He's this 6'1", wiry dude that is one of the most athletic players, can jump out of the gym that we have ever seen. Why Steph resonates with people is Steph can dribble and shoot the ball in a way that just, like, wow. I don't think anybody goes wow when they watch Jokic. He plays like a 45-year-old man. Very fundamental, moves kind of herky-jerky. Just, it works. I don't explain it sometimes the way that it works, but man, he is incredibly talented. I just don't think his game is nearly smooth enough for people to gravitate towards it in the way that you were talking about. We're going to actually head to Denver here coming up in a bit. We'll get somebody's opinion on that, and we'll talk about Frank Clark, who no longer plays for the Chiefs. He plays for the Broncos. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.